There will be more, and we will announce it again, and we will invite you. And so if the Lord stirs your heart, know that there will be an opportunity. But know this already, okay? The mission that will stand out for you, all right? You will not have the money for it, and it will be at the wrong time, and it will be an inconvenience, all right? But you might still have to go, amen? That's how missions work. Missions is a little bit like going to the best restaurant in the world, but on the outside it looks a little bit scruffy. But when you get in, you get ministered to and you get fed like you've never believed. Isn't that true? Apostle Andres have been talking about being called and that God has a plan for your life. I'm not building a block on one of Andres' sermon, but I'm preaching on the same field. And I think the Lord is saying something to us. So what I want to do for the next two times where I will preach, I want to look at the call of Moses, maybe three, and let it weave between this idea that God has a plan for each and every one, and also with Equip at Five happening at the moment. I want to look at the call of Moses and ask the question, what does it mean for us? Because you know what? Scripture is very intentional in the words and the phrases it includes and excludes. If you have a man like Moses, a man like David, Abraham, you can fill volumes and volumes of books of what these people did and accomplished and who they were. Yet Scripture puts out for us what we need to know about them very meticulously. Isn't that true? And so let's learn as we look at the account of where God called Moses and see if we can take those principles to our own lives to help maybe some of us just open up and awaken again to what God is busy with you. Let's read together first part in Exodus. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took his wife, a Levite woman. And the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months, because at that time the king was killing Hebrew men, little boys, okay, that got born. Now when she could hide him no longer, that one time children gets louder and faster, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. This is a tear. And she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister, this is a smart little girl, stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came to bathe at the river while her young woman walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. Nothing like a basket floating in the river, right? I wonder what could be in there. Maybe some picnic or something. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." And his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, she's a smart sister, "Shall I go and call a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." Like nothing like a government grant to raise your own children. Isn't that amazing? So the woman took the child and nursed him. And when the child grew older, something very difficult happened. She brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, because she said, "I draw him out of the water." The call of Moses. Talk about a rough start to your life. The first thing is we know where this story goes. We know Moses became a great man, and we just realize the unideal circumstances of this world, pushed by evil kings, governors, and people, will not catch the sovereign will of God, ever. Ever. And I'm just reminded of the words of Joseph at the end. He said to his brother, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done in the saving of many lives." God will not be caught off guard. So take heart. In Acts 7, just before we move to the course, just a little bit of background. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. And when he was 40 years old, he came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. So what we see about Moses, firstly, is that this man was adopted, and then he became strong in the ways of the Egyptians. So he was a Hebrew, but he became well skilled in the ways of the Egyptians, and he was mighty. There was a strength in the man, even though his mother could not keep him. He was adopted. He was an orphan. And we see in Exodus 3, this is where the call comes to him. It says the following. It says, "Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian." And so what we see from Moses also is doing something as lowly as keeping the flock. Now we know he became great. So he became skilled, well-equipped, and he was faithful. He had a rough start. But sometimes you just need to take the next step, the next step, the next step. Now, if you consider this man and his past and what led to this moment where God's going to speak to him now, we need to say that Moses had to be adopted. Some of us, we suffer the divorce of parents, or maybe you were divorced yourself. Some of us lost our parents to death way too early. I know my mom lost both her parents when she was 7 years old. She was adopted. Some of us lives in homes where everything might seem pretty and perfect, but we maybe had a controlling dad, and from the outside, the home looked fine, but you lived in fear. I don't know how you grew up. It was rough for Moses, I'll tell you that. Others lived in a home where alcohol was the authority. It was a strong, it was a cruel authority in the home. Others had polished parents. So maybe you're sitting here today, but you were never good enough. You scored 90 in school, but you came fifth. Should have been first. You see, now these things happen to us, and we have the evil one on our hearts just trying to set us up not to take the call of God, because there's something wrong with us. Something wrong with us. Not a person like me. And the first thing I just want to say this morning, and I'm glad I made my sermon short this morning, is that God calls common people like me and you. There's a little bit of a paradox, because all people are common compared to God. But from our point of view, we think others are perfect and I'm not. We must get that thing out of our head. This is not how it works. Even when David got anointed, the prophet got it wrong, Samuel. God has got a different plan. Someone like you is just right for the call. Whatever your background, your home, knows, he calls and draws you into his purposes. Are you still open for that? And I love what Pastor Andre said the last couple of weeks. Sometimes we think that because we are grandparents now, we are senior, we've expired. That's not true. Some of the most magnificent things happened, significant things happened in the lives of the prophets of old when they were so old, and God just pushed amazing things through them. Abraham, Moses, the list goes on. God calls someone just like you. Are you still open? And this is just a general thing I wanted to say, but let's get into two of the specifics, and I'm going to carry on with this when I'm on in the pulpit again. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. Okay, so now Moses is walking. You see, there's a burning bush. He's like, this bush looks a little bit weird. Now, this guy, he keeps the flock. He knows what a fire looks like, okay? And he knows basic things, that when you make a fire, it burns out. And he's like, this bush, this is not something I know. Now, God sees him stalling and coming nearer, and God calls out of the bush, Moses, and he says, here I am. He said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet. For the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Now, in some cultures, I know in India, I've been in missions in Nepal, when you go into the home, you have to take your shoes off. Who's been into homes like that? Sometimes it's become a little bit of a thing where people say, this is a no-shoe home. Any no-shoes homes here? That's very smart. If you don't have someone sweeping the whole day, it's very smart. But we know, so when I went to India and the people said, okay, please take up your shoes before you go in, I thought that's smart because my shoes are dirty and they're trying to keep the home clean. Now, if you come to my house, children runs from the trampoline through the mud onto the bed. That's how it works. So I understand a no-shoe house. I must consider that maybe. But Moses is outside. He's in the field. He's keeping the flock. The tree, the bush that's burning is in the dirt. It's in the soil. That's how plants work. And God says, take off your shoes. And I think maybe he's thinking, but I'm outside. But this must be a sacred moment. Let me pay attention. Because God is saying to me, take out off my shoes, but I'm outside. And I think the Lord has his attention in a different way. This is a space. And I'm asking myself, do I still take off the shoes of my heart when I'm in the presence of the Lord? Do I make enough of an effort to really hear, listen closely, and listen with the intention to really hear and respond? Because I think sometimes I'm at the burning bush with my shoes on. I think sometimes I'm there and he's speaking, but there's something on my heart where I often hear him very clear. And other times, I've got my shoes on. You know what I'm talking about this morning? And I actually mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you remember, where I repent that I say sometimes I rush through church. But we must stop. We must stop. This is a moment. This is a sacred moment. And I was also thinking about our meetings. And such a place where we want everyone to feel welcome and loved. But there's someone here more important than any one of us. And we are here to host you guys. I'm being hosted by your kindness also. We're here to host people, isn't that true? But we're also here to host the Lord. And it puts us with a little bit of attention, because what that means is we want to come with the shoes, we want to take off the shoes of our heart and hear, but we also want to host people. And I think what we need to consider together is to make much of the sacred moments when we are together, to make much of it. And I thought about this example because it happened a couple of weeks ago. There was a bunch of people making noise there at the back of the church, and they were laughing. They were busy with other things. And it feels like church is a place where you should only love and accept, but we had to take them out. Because this is a place where we take the shoes off our hearts. And this place is to be respected, isn't that true? You see, we want to host people, but we want to host the Lord. There's a tension there. And so in one sense, let us all remember that Moses had to take off his shoes in order to take in that significant moment. And let's do it when we are here, but also at home, when we draw near to the Lord. Amen. Sometimes I think the Lord is asking us to take off the shoes of our hearts so that we are only focused on Him, not busy with other things and Him. Give Him a devout moment. We are here for You, Lord. And I think what I learned from Moses, if we want to hear Him crystal clear, take the shoes of the heart and pay attention and listen. And His voice will come through. Isn't that true? I was once challenged by a man. It was way back in Secunda. He was wasn't a homeless man, but he was an interesting character in town. And he was shouting things out of the audience while I was preaching. It was not amen. Okay? He was putting up his hand and doing stuff. And then he's like, "But this is not your church, it's God's church. You cannot tell me what to do here." And I said, "You know what? I know I'm not important, but this place will be respected. And so if you cannot behave, we're going to ask you to think about how you need to behave here and then come back when you are ready to respect this place." And it's very hard. But then the word comes to me as well. Am I still making much of those moments when it's only me and the Lord and I'm opening up His word? Am I still paying attention? You see, so this is something I want us to take in. Because the Lord is speaking with us. The fear of the Lord is also important. Isn't that true? And we're also different. So some of us, we're good listeners. We take off the shoes of our hearts. We're like, "Lord, we've got books full of words that the Lord has spoken to us. But the side of the page where we act on those words, it's kind of empty." Then there's others. God has not even finished the sentence and we're already on the way. And so we are different. But let us know how to take off the shoes of our hearts and lean in to His plans and His will for us. He is the God that speaks and communicates. Isn't that true? And so Moses took off his shoes and he listened. "And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me." Now God is speaking to Moses. "I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And God is speaking to Moses. Now he's paying attention. He's there. It's only him and God. His shoes are off. And look at what God says to him. He says, "I want to send you because the people needs to be freed. I want to use you to step in service of others." And I was reminded in Matthew 9, Jesus sees the crowds and Scripture says He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then He said to His disciples, He says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." And I realized something about the call of the Lord. And Pastor Andres, something you said, you always say, it's not about me. And I realized when God calls, if you want to push out the other voices, you're not sure which one is God's voice, it's the one that's not about you. It's the call that's other-focused. And the call comes to Moses. It's an other-focused call. This situation doesn't work too well for me, Lord. Yeah, I get that, but it's not really about you, man. But that time doesn't suit me so well. Yeah, it's not really about you. You see, the cry of my people have come to me, and they've been oppressed. If you respond and everyone else that hears my voice, incredible things can happen. Jesus said in Mark 10, he says, in Mark 10, 45, it's one of my favorite verses to remember. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. What is he saying to you this morning? I want to go on. This is where I'm going to stop. I want to say to you that God calls ordinary people. But as you lean in, take off the shoes of your heart that you may hear clearly. Between all the things you hear, all the words, all the emotions, look, follow the voice, follow the thread where God leads you to consider others, because he's the one that calls us to others. And I just want to finish for us here this morning. It feels like we are finishing in the middle of an episode. It's okay for this morning. The Lord knows how to finish this off. At one stage, Jesus came to the earth not for himself, but for us. And I just want to give hope this morning. You are included. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself. He continued on the mission to him who judges justly. And he himself, he bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. We see the example of Christ answering the call, coming to others. His shoes was not only taken off, his feet was pierced. He went all the way. What a moment to consider again the holiness of God, his call and his plans on the earth, and that ordinary people like you and me get to be invited into that. Let's respond to that this morning. Can we do that? Let's stand together in this place this morning. I want to create just a moment, I'm intentional about it, where we pray for people in front this morning, because I want us to be responsive to a place where it costs us to move, to be seen by our friends, if the Lord speaks to you this morning. I'm not interested in having a lot of people here, but just those that the Lord are stirring to give you your first victory in responding. So we want to pray for you. If you just sense again, I mean, a lot of us here, we've come from a place, even as a student, being very agile for the Lord, very agile. But life has caused us to lose some flexibility in the kingdom. We've instead of being able to move, we've become slow. And I just feel the Lord says, the body may age, but the spirit can stay ignited and young. And to stay flexible. Here's Johnny going on missions to Ukraine. He's only 40 years old. He's going to Ukraine again. Smithy going on a second mission, I think. What an example. But I want to ask you, if you need to connect with the Lord again, if that's, because here's the first thing, is to surrender to him. I'd like you to step out in the front. Just in a moment, I'll indicate. But also with that, if you feel you need to be agile again to the Lord, to hear, to move, to respond, to go, to pray, and just experience Him moving you in the field. With all of the challenges, they'll still come. Point number 4, 5, 6. But if already you want to say, I want to be responsive, it might mean going on a mission, yes, but it might mean missioning in a different way. I'd like to pray for you this morning. Let's pray together in this place. Let's pray in the Spirit. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord, in this place. You are God of a mission. To take off the shoes of your heart this morning, that you may hear clearly. Lord, you spoke to Moses through a burning bush, and today you speak with us through your beautiful Holy Spirit. We honor you in this place. Send us again, Lord, into Hermanus, into our own homes and beyond. Let us be responsive, Lord. Let us not be Christians in wheelchairs. Let us be agile. And once we've taken off our shoes to listen, may we put them on so that we can run for you, Lord. If you need to respond this morning, I'm just going to count to three. You quickly come out to the front, and we want to pray for you and send you so long. 1, 2, 3. Let's respond. Thank you for those brave people. Just respond. If the Lord is speaking to you, to be flexible again, to be loose, to move, to go right for Him, to go left, to respond, to hear, to minister, to share. Quickly come out. Someone's just going to lay hands on you and pray for you. Thank you for being so brave. Just a moment for you to go home and say, I took my first step this morning. There's no spectators here this morning. Let's pray. Maybe one of your friends are here in front. Pray for them. The Lord will release them in their calling. Some more people coming out. You can still come out if you want to. If you know that you want the Lord to use you, but you're not sure, quickly come out. We just want to pray with you. We can't give you the answers. God will. But when someone prays with you, sometimes that's the momentum you need. Also want to make a specific call. If you, maybe there's some hope now, but if there's been a pattern in your heart where you have feel intentionally or unintentionally, you feel disqualified because of the way you grew up. You just like other people's homes, they worked, they came through strong. I struggled, therefore, I think the Lord uses other people, not me. We just want to deal with that. That the spirit of inferiority that wants to intimidate you. You are not inferior, but there's a spirit of inferiority that wants to cancel you. He wants to keep you in the stands when God wants you on the fields. Quickly come out. We want to pray for you. That thing can stop today. Thank you for responding. There's a couple of people coming out. More facilitators, more small group leaders. Thank you, Pierre. Awesome. Thank you so much. If there's anyone here that fell into a sin, whether it's a pattern or happened once off, and you feel that has disqualified me, we want to pray for you. Moses murdered a man. Now you need to get restored. You can't just go on. Repentance and restoration goes together. We want to pray for you also. You can be reinstated in God's kingdom as what happened to Moses. So if there's anyone that wants to receive prayer, quickly come out. We're going to pray here because we're a praying church. We're not only a listening church, we're a praying church. So there's many people taking steps of faith. We're praying together here, getting our faith up. So the last thing I want you to do, if you're still here, if you want to take a moment, just sit next to your friend or your family member and say, how can I pray for you this morning? Or what stood out for you this morning? I'm going to give you 2 minutes and I'm going to formally dismiss you. Take this time just to reflect and maybe be kind in offering to pray for someone. You've been such a generous and kind audience this morning. Just want to formally dismiss you. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you. Go and do amazing things for the Lord. But before you go, just grab a cup of coffee and we'll see you soon again. Maybe some of you will come tonight at 5 for a group of 5. Otherwise, see you guys next week. The Lord bless you. Amen.